Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Historic Preservation Pavilion here at Car Talk
Historic
Plaza.
Historic Preservation Pavilion.
Well, we received in the mail recently two very interesting and products of historic proportion. At least one of them is. We've referred to this one many times on the show.
I mean, it's an urban legend, this stuff.
It is.
I mean, it's one of those things that you don't even know if it really ever existed. It's sort of like Atlantis. I mean, people keep talking about it, but no one's ever actually seen it. And here it is, a spray can of Cosmoline.
Oh, my God.
Cosmoline exists.
Cosmoline does exist.
I'll hold it up to the microphone.
This is the stuff of legend. It was reported that there were thousands of U.S. Army surplus Jeeps that were for sale. I remember when I was a kid, they were 50 bucks apiece.
They're always 50 bucks.
Yeah, and they were packed in Cosmoline. In fact, $300 worth of Cosmoline to preserve them, so no matter what happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even pack them in $50 worth of Cosmoline. Well, where did that story ever come from?
Well, it may have come from Houghton International, which is the maker of Cosmoline.
And they still make the stuff, and they even got it in a spray can.
These cans are from World War II. No, they still make it, and it contains, I suppose I can divulge.
There's a reference here to Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Anyway, the stuff contains three very interesting ingredients, which I will share with you.
Yeah.
Stoddard solvent.
Oh, don't you love it?
We don't have to go any farther. Hexylene glycol.
See, we could figure that out.
Which is what gives it that greasy feel.
Yeah.
And 1,2,4 trimethyl benzene, which is what makes it toxic.
I could even draw the Fisher diagram for that.
You could.
I'm sure you could. I mean, when you've taken organic chemistry as many times as I have, trying to pass it. Wow.
And so, obviously the stuff is a preservative, and I thought that I would try a small little test.
Yeah.
So I decided to see if I didn't want to try to preserve the entire dart, because I thought it would be too much of an undertaking for this one little can. So I thought I'd try, like, the driver's seat. So before the show started, I didn't do the whole seat. I just did the back of it.
Oh.
So you won't get your pants wet.
Yeah?
Don't worry. It looks beautiful.
Well, you'd be happy to know that I also did a test. You know that orange soda you're drinking?
Yeah.
How's it taste? I'm just trying to find out if the stuff
tastes a little like trimethyl benzene, actually.
I'm trying to find out if the stuff is poisonous. I put a little in just before the show.
Look, if you want to talk to us about preserving your car, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK.
Or preserving this show. You might want to preserve this show by buying a tape. The number's to call.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Linda in Maine. You guys are cracking me up.
Linda from Maine.
That's with an I, just so you know.
Maine, M-A-I-N-E.
That's it.
Northern Maine, Middle Maine, or Southern Maine?
Mid-coast.
Cool.
Oh, you're like from near Bar Harbor.
Well, about an hour south of Bar Harbor and about an hour north of Portland.
Sure.
So you haven't lived in Maine very long.
15 years.
Where are you really from? Boston?
Boston? I'm from the Midwest originally.
Are you really?
Yeah. You been there?
Midwest?
No. Not really.
Yeah, south of Chicago.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, on the plane he's been there.
Yeah.
I was going over.
They
said below you there
are
wheat fields. See those? Wheat and corn? Yeah, that's the Midwest.
Yeah, thanks.
That's
a lot.
It.
I've seen enough.
So what's going on, Linda?
Put me down.
Well, I think I've got a real stumper for you guys. It's about my 1987 Toyota Tercel four-wheel drive wagon.
I got it. Okay.
It's got about 164,000 miles on it.
Mm.
But here's the problem. When it's been a really hard, rainy, super saturated kind of a rainy day, and it's been sitting in my driveway overnight, it won't start. And it's not the battery.
So when you turn the key, it goes forever, and it just doesn't kick.
Correct. So I have to get my hair dryer.
Yeah.
And dry off the sort of is it the alternator?
No, the distributor.
The distributor, okay.
The thing with the wires coming out.
Yeah, right. And I've got new spark plug wires.
Well, that's, good.
New plugs. It's not that. It's something about dampness.
What made you think of the hair dryer thing?
Well, I figured that would work.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's something my husband said to tell you, that when he's...
Same to him, too. Well, I'm sorry.
No, that's not what he said.
Oh, no.
anyway, he says that he has seen arcing. That's a clue.
Yeah, that's a clue. Did he say where he saw the arcing?
Kind of over the top of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top of that area.
Yeah,
so
maybe I'm not.
Our
maybe
suspicions
I'm not
may
right.
be confirmed.
I know where he's seeing the arcing.
I do too.
This
okay,
is a
so you
common problem on these cars. You've changed the wires, and that didn't help it.
Correct.
Because what's wrong is the distributor cap has little microscopic little cracks that are starting at the center and working the electricity. The cracks go all the way down to the base of the distributor cap and providing a conductive, when wet,
path
for the electricity.
Down to the body.
And that your spark is actually getting grounded out before it ever gets a chance. I mean, it's cut off at the knees, so to speak.
That's it.
Before your spark can make it to the plugs.
That's
it's getting
it.
Shorted to ground, and you need to replace the cap. Now,
so how much is that going to cost?
$750 an hour, Sean.
We're having a special on them, though.
They're $12.95.
If you call now, we'll also send you the 3-CD Sleepy LaBeef collection.
Oh,
are you with the Sleepy LaBeef?
He rocks.
He rocks, baby.
I'm all for Sleepy.
This is a simple problem. This is, and your husband's clue was very, very helpful.
Tell them to go to the parts store, or maybe even the Toyota dealer.
Oh, boy.
And buy a new distributor cap and a new rotor.
A rotor.
And there are three screws that hold the cap down.
Yeah.
You take them out, plug on the new rotor, you put the new cap on, you stick the
wires. Make sure you put the wires back in exactly the same place. Otherwise, it'll never start.
Right, you'll be calling us next week. You'll be in your driveway.
Well, I'm sure he can do all of this. He's a pretty dandy mechanic.
That's going to fix it, Linda.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi. My name is Gaspar Castronovo. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Casper?
Gaspar. Castronovo.
Castronovo.
No kidding.
And for you're from New York?
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. I have a 84 Ranger.
Yeah.
That I came by, it cost me $500.
Yeah.
The truck runs fine, except my wife says to me, every time you park, there's a pool of oil under your car.
Yeah.
So I realized that I was losing about a quart and a half of oil a day.
Wow.
From my oil dipstick.
Really?
No.
My oil pump has so much pressure that it pushes, spits oil out.
How do you know it has too much pressure?
Well, because all this oil's coming from someplace.
Oh, okay.
I don't like it, but go ahead.
What I did was, I'm a plumber, right?
I love it.
Don't. I know what you did, but go ahead, tell everyone else.
You installed a T connection.
I took a hose from underneath my sink. the hose that we use on the spray.
Yeah, for the spray thing. I know, yeah.
We didn't need the spray anyway.
And you ran it up from the dipstick back into the top of the car.
And I put a hole in the top of my oil, the valve cover.
So you drilled a hole at the end.
And so the oil goes back into the car.
What a
guy. Great.
But the thing is that I'm wondering, why is this going on?
And since you did this, there's no longer a puddle under the
truck? Of
course
not.
No, there's no more puddles.
And you're obviously not losing any more oil.
I'm not losing no more oil.
Wow, what a solution. Great. Okay, thanks for calling.
But what's wrong?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
No, I don't like this. I don't like your analysis of the situation.
No, it's not the oil pressure.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. This can't happen.
Several things, one of several things, or maybe several of several things, or a couple of several things. A lot of different stuff could be going on here, Gaspar. You could, for example, have too much oil in the crankcase.
Not too much.
No,
I run it a little low, in fact.
Have you changed the oil since you've owned it?
I changed the oil. I changed the filter.
And you put 5 quarts of oil in?
5 quarts. Everything was exact, and the minute you start it up, running for 2 minutes,
and oil is pouring out.
Coming out.
Okay, what's happening then?
It's good.
What's happening is that you are building up excessive pressure in the crankcase, which is blowing out the dipstick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the dipstick is like a friction fit into the tube. You notice when you push it in, it goes in easy, and then the last half an inch, you have to kind of shove it.
Right.
Okay, and it kind of sticks in there. But if you have too much pressure in the crankcase, you'll blow the stick out.
Okay, we're going to take guesses on how many miles are on this Ranger. No, don't tell us. don't tell us, because I'm going for 220.
108.
108?
Jeez.
108,000.
Someone hasn't been taking care of this.
Someone had the odometer unhooked.
It's possible.
Here's what I think is wrong with it.
Yeah.
You have a PCV system that isn't working. Do you know what your PCV valve is? You don't. It's buried behind the distributor. Pull the PCV. It's connected to a hose, and it plugs into a hose. Pull that thing out of there and change the PCV valve. It probably hasn't been changed for 12 years. And your problem will be
longer.
Maybe longer.
Yeah. The problem will go away immediately.
You think so?
Yeah. Then you can fix the spray thing on your kitchen sink.
I can put it back.
You can put it back, yeah, and all the dishes will come out oily. But change your PCV.
PCV is positive crankcase ventilation. It's supposed to ventilate the crankcase, and it's not ventilating it, so pressure is building up, pushing down on the oil and up through the dipstick.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Whoopee.
It would be, if it's that simple, then
it's going to be that simple. It's going to cost you $5 to fix this.
Wow.
Maybe three.
Maybe in
New,
well,
New York.
Cost me enough anyway.
New York, you could borrow 40. One from the car next door.
Good luck, Gaspar.
Another Chilton manual.
Good luck, Gaspar.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca in New Haven, Connecticut.
Hey, Rebecca.
I have a question about my 1988 Chevy Sprint, the most poorly named car of all time.
What is a Sprint?
What is a Sprint?
I don't even remember the car.
It's a Geo Sprint. It was a...
Yeah, when you lift up the hood, it doesn't say Chevy. It says, like, something foreign.
Isuzu.
Yeah, which is... Yeah. So it's still going, barely.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can see that we're going to be a big help to you. I didn't even know what the car was.
No, but we do know it's Japanese, and we speak Japanese.
Okay, great. Well, I'm a graduate student, and we have a week for Thanksgiving break. And I'd really love to drive home to see my family in Indiana.
What are you studying there at Yale?
I am in the School of Management.
Oh,
so I'm studying for an MBA.
An MBA.
Yes.
The best degree you could ever get. Worthless.
Completely worthless.
Yeah.
No. I have a worthless degree in philosophy. From my undergraduate.
A philosophy degree will stand you in much better stead than the MBA,
and
which will only turn you into a yuppie, suspender-wearing, BMW-driving moron.
Right. Driving too fast.
Great.
Trust me. Notice how we cleverly brought her away from that Sprint question. Whatever it was going to be.
In another minute, you won't even remember why she called or to whom she's talking.
So which courses are you having the most fun with in this MBA program? Have you taken decision theory yet?
Yeah, we took game theory.
Did you cover Monopoly and all those?
Well, we did Monopolies in Monopoly game? The game of Monopoly?
Yeah.
Right, not Monopolies.
The first week was on Monopoly. We moved on to Parcheesi.
Parcheesi's good.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Checkers is good.
Checkers. Well, we had to move up, and the last, of course, was chess.
Oh.
But actually, chess is, game theory.
Yeah, yes. It is. Sure.
We've stonewalled you enough.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, Rebecca.
Oh, your 5 minutes is just about up. You're at 4 minutes, 56 seconds.
Wait.
Well, if you didn't squander your time, you would have gotten your question answered.
Yeah, what do you have to talk about your silly MBA program for?
You think we care? Game theory. Parcheesi.
All right. You want to drive this thing to Indiana. How many miles is that?
How many miles is it?
Yeah.
A lot.
1,000?
15 hours. Yeah, a little less than 1,000.
Yeah, 850 miles.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's old.
Yeah.
So
this might be an easy answer. See, the question, we don't know anything about this car, but the answer is quickly coming to me.
Yeah. Well, see, I had decided. I'm flying, and then I called the airline.
Oh.
And I thought, maybe I should reconsider. Because I've driven it to Indiana before. I drove it to Indiana last year from here. And I brought it in and I said, guys, can you check it out and tell me if I can drive to Indiana? But, I hate to go in open season like that and say, hey, You know, you're really
bearing your soul there, and it's making yourself very, very vulnerable.
Exactly.
Look, you've got 5 days. You already told us.
Yeah, that's
almost enough time to take Amtrak.
But you know, the thing is, Amtrak costs almost as much as the plane.
So the real question is, how much can we lend you?
Exactly.
Is that the real question?
Exactly. Because I've already maxed out my parents.
Yeah. So what do you need? A couple of hundred?
Yeah, I am probably. Let's see, my loans.
Yeah, we can do that. 100 apiece. I'll donate $100.
Okay. Well, no. I probably will just, hunker down and buy the ticket home because it's important enough.
Because this is not a car that will sprint out to Indiana.
No, it doesn't sprint at all. It does go. I think it should be called the Chevy Go.
Yeah, maybe.
The Chevy Barely Go.
The Barely Go.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that answers my question. It's an answer I knew already.
Well, I'm proud to have been able to participate in this discussion.
And we'll send you the hunt to $200 right away.
Great.
Stay on the line, and Johnny will take your address and email.
Wonderful.
We'll electronically fund it to you.
Okay.
See you, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we answer last week's puzzler, it's time for a short break. You good with that?
Well, I'm good at it.
Well, we know that. You are an excellent break taker.
All right, remind me. What was last week's puzzle?
Well, it was from my gridiron series.
Football. I love football. The cheering of the crowd.
Uh-huh.
The smell of fall in the air.
Sure.
The crack of human bones snapping in half. What a barbaric game that is. Come on.
Well, look, at my puzzler is a peaceful football puzzler in that it only concerns place kicking.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll be back with the answer and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned. When you start up in the morning and you hear that fiddle sound, you can see the smoke pouring and the yaws lick on the ground. So you run to your mechanic. Can't you get it started, please? First he listens, then he nods. Just to give you parties, he does the shrug. He's doing that mechanic shrug. Well, you can tell he understands it all. He's certified Neanderthal, and he's doing that mechanic shrug. And even though NPR offers to buy us our own homemade helium balloon whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my pigskin series.
Okay, go, man.
Well, as you know, in many parts of the country, football is akin to a religion.
Yeah, especially the part about human sacrifice.
Well, I happen to think it's a wonderful game.
Well, so do I.
No, and look, in almost every school in the country has a football team. Giant schools and tiny schools. But frequently, some of the smaller schools don't have a student who is capable of place kicking.
That was Charlie Brown's position. He'd run up to kick the ball, and Lucy would pull the ball away, and he'd fall flat on his back.
Exactly.
And that's probably what led to his permanent head injury.
Well, you're going to have a permanent head injury if you don't let me finish the puzzler.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, the teams that do not have place kickers can do almost everything the other teams can do. Obviously, they can't kick extra points, and they can't kick field goals, but they can score touchdowns. They can make two-point conversions, of course. They can play every other aspect of the game.
I'm with you.
I know. Don't remind me. Anyway, there is one thing that teams without place kickers can never do in a football game other than kick. The question is, what can a football team never do without a place kicker? And the answer is, they cannot score an odd number of points.
Why?
Because touchdowns are 6 points. The extra points that they can score are only 2 points. They can't score 1 point extra points. And they can't kick field goals, which are 3 points.
They can only score even numbers.
So do we have a winner?
The winner this week is John Kay from Seattle, Washington. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, John will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a four-pack of our new CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Yeah, yeah. These are the bags that you can take with you to the supermarket and reuse so you don't add more paper or plastic to the landfills.
And don't worry about being embarrassed because your shopping bags say CarTalk on them.
No, no, no. There's a big disclaimer that says my other reusable shopping bags are from good NPR shows.
Yeah, you can see pictures of them at the website.
Now, if you didn't win this week, stay tuned because there's a new puzzler coming up. In the meantime, you can call us with your car questions. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Millie Kirkwood. I'm calling you from Plano, Texas.
Millie!
Yeah!
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Plano is a good place, isn't it?
Oh, you've heard of it.
I think we were there once.
I was in Plano, yeah.
Oh, super.
I spent a weekend there.
No,
one
that
night.
Was Drano.
That was Drano, Texas. That's on the other side of Dallas.
No, you can't say things like that about any place in Texas. Absolutely not. Now, this is the greatest place. We may not be Boston, but we're right up there. Now, I've got not a problem with the way my car runs, but it's with the windshield. Oh. Whenever I go through the drive-in car wash, you know, at the service station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get the blow dry on your car, you have to get that wax treatment, and it leaves a film on the windshield. And that's not so bad during the day, but at night or when it's raining and you can't see anyway, it gets it all smeary. And I can't get that off.
Well, if you told them about it, they would deny it vehemently.
Of course.
And the reason they would deny it is there's nothing in that container of wax. You know when you go through and you pay the extra $2 for the wax?
Yeah.
And it says the light will flash when the... I don't think there's anything in that. I mean, the light flashes. How would you know?
How would you know?
No, I never can tell any difference in the way my car looks. I just like to get it blown dry so it...
Well, I think they blow dry the car regardless whether you get the wax or not, don't they?
Not if the cheap car washes down here.
Yeah, see, Millie's going to one of these cheapo places.
Yeah, I don't go any place
like
that.
It's only one bay long. You go in, the guy comes up with a hose, he sprinkles it down, and then he leaves.
I got it. I know what you're going to.
But if you can avoid the wax, I mean, what's the big deal about the blow dry? Just forget it.
Well, I have spots on my car if I don't do the blow dry.
Well, I think you need to upgrade, Millie. You need to go to a fancier car wash.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, do you know how I can get that stuff off the windshield? A friend of mine told me to use steel wool, but I'm afraid it'll scratch the windshield. I don't want that.
Well, we did have a call last year from a guy who detailed cars, and he said you could use 4-0, that is the steel wool with the four zeros.
4-0. Okay.
Steel wool on your... I don't think I'd try it on the windshield first.
Yeah.
You might want to try it on your husband's car.
I'll try it on one of those cars that parks over the lines in the parking deck.
That's even better.
Well, let's see, it takes up two spaces.
But there are a lot of pretty good window cleaners for cars that really are designed to get off a lot of the stuff that gets on, like pitch and whatever, and tar from trees. And it should take off that wax as well.
You know, the thing that I have found cleans windshields better than anything is go down to the place that makes contact lenses. Do they have, like, Pearl Vision and places like that in the Plano?
Yeah.
Go to Pearl Vision and buy some lens cleaner.
Oh, okay.
And it comes in a little bottle. It costs about $700 for a 6-ounce bottle. But it is phenomenal for cleaning windshields.
No kidding.
So use that, and your problems will be over, and that's the end of that.
And I'll live happily ever after.
And you certainly will.
Indeed.
Hey, great. I love your show. You guys are just too much.
See you, Millie.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Richard Derby, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Richard. How are you doing, man?
I'm having a wonderful time.
Good. What's up?
Listen, I may have a problem with my car. I may not, and if it is, I'm not sure what the problem is, but
yeah.
I got an 89 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra that I purchased from a friend, and it had 100,000 miles when I purchased it.
Mm.
And I took it into my mechanic, my trusted mechanic, and we were standing out in the shade under the shade tree in front of his building, and he asked me when was the last time the timing belt was changed. And I really didn't have an answer for that, and he said, well, you really need to change this at 60,000 miles, which made me wonder if he ever even looked at the odometer, which was sitting on 100,000 at the time. So He wanted a couple of $100, he said, to change the timing belt. So I took it to another mechanic just out of curiosity. And that mechanic said,
"You don't have a timing belt."
That's exactly what he said. He said, "You don't have a timing belt. You have a timing change."
Yeah.
And the price just jumped. He said, "I want $500 to fix it." and I'll put it.
And I don't care if it's broke or not.
Well, and you have a V6 engine in this thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he said it'd be around $500 is you have to put a new timing chain and the metal housing that was on the front of it would have to be replaced.
Oh, you were hearing noise from this engine?
No, he just said it's time to do it. Now I got two different guys with two different ideas. So I went to another guy, and he said, "No sweat, you do have a timing chain.
But don't bother to change it."
But no, he said he'd change it. But he'll do it for $300, he said, because he doesn't have to replace the housing on the front because it usually gets torn up by the chain, but he knows how to fix that so he can put it back on.
Well, it would only get torn up by the chain if the chain failed.
It was whacking against it.
In other words, I mean, these engines do have a tendency to go through chains.
Right.
And when the chain jumps timing, when the chain gets so loose that it will either strip gears off the cam gear or jump and change the valve timing, the risk you run is that you will bend valves.
Yeah, I figured I might do that.
Which is disastrous, because then you've got to yank the cylinder heads and it's going to cost $1 million. So it's
not
nice.
This car's Dodge.
It's not.
No. That's be good. Hello, Goodwill. Can you send that truck over here to get the car?
So it would be nice to do this preemptively, you know.
Well, I got 100. Now I have 176,000 miles on.
Oh, you do.
And so, one guy listened to it, and his remark was, "Well, I don't hear anything slapping around in there, so just keep driving." But the thing is, I keep thinking, shouldn't I do, like you say, preemptive, rather than having the chain fall off when I'm driving on the road?
There is no recommended change interval for the timing chain by any manufacturer.
Okay.
There are some cars which are prone to have timing chains fail, and yours is one of them. However,
it is. Of course it would be mine.
Of course.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have bought it.
But on the other hand, if it hasn't failed in all these miles.
No, it hadn't.
It's very likely that who's ever driven it has driven it very gently, because the leading cause of premature timing chain failure is driving the car hard. In other words, accelerating very rapidly all the
time. Stomping on that pedal from a dead stop.
But my friend would have never done that.
But if your friend didn't do that and you don't do it, it's possible for the thing to go 250,000 miles or more.
Yeah, and something else will probably die before the chain gives
up. On the other hand, if you like the car and you hope to keep it for several more years, $300 is not a lot of money to spend.
Okay.
I'd have to recommend that you do it.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of other things that could break, too. But this is the one thing that if it were to break and you were driving at high speed, it would take the engine with it.
Yeah. And that's, like I say, that's the time to call Goodwill.
That's the time to call Goodwill and say, "This is Richard in Baltimore. Yeah. Come and get my Cutlass."
And they would say, "We've been waiting for your call."
"Please send me my tax discount."
No, $300, I'd spend the dough and do it.
All right, that's great. Right,
and make sure he doesn't replace just the chain, but the gears as well.
The gears also.
Oh, yeah, you definitely want new gears.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate your help.
Well, we're glad you called, Richard.
Y'all have a good one.
You too. See you later.
See you then.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jerry in Adrian, Michigan.
Jerry, like G-E-J-E-G-E-R-I.
Nope. J E R E.
Oh, excellent! What part of California did your parents come from?
None at all.
Come on.
Born.
J E R E.
I know.
What is this a shortening of?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's
right?
Her name,
Jerry.
Yep.
Jerry.
Jerry.
And where are you from again?
Adrian, Michigan.
Adrian. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's
all right,
up,
Jerry?
Jerry.
We're gonna go with it.
Okay, well, it actually starts with a surgical story. My sister is a nurse in surgery, and she somehow got me signed up to give a fellow nurse's husband a ride to work a couple of days a week.
Got it.
So they are talking, after this has been going on, they are talking, my sister and this woman, over, I don't know, an open appendix or something. And it turns out that this guy I give a ride to work with is not satisfied with my driving ability.
Oh. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't come to me, of course. You know,
no.
It has to be discussed over, you know.
Yeah. The
right.
Your sister talks
to
her friends. Her friend mentions what her... And by the way, Frank was telling me that your sister is the worst driver he's ever...
Uh-huh. Well, the whole crux of the situation is I have a stick shift, and when I am coming up to a stop sign or stoplight, my tendency has always been to put the car into neutral, take it out of gear, and coast up to the sign, put it in first gear, and go. And apparently this man feels that what I need to be doing is going through all my gears downshifting until I come to a stop.
Oh.
Well, first of all, why isn't he driving himself to work?
Oh, it's not. It's an ugly situation. Something he passed out at work or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's a medical situation.
Yeah.
Oh,
so he passed out. But not enough to stop bugging you.
Right.
Yeah. Find out what made him pass out, and maybe you can give him the same stuff.
I got it. Your sister has obvious access
to ether.
Ether. There you go. Right.
Get him a new prescription?
No, you need to just wave a little handkerchief under his nose every morning.
And he'll be out until you get him to work.
And he won't even know what hit him.
But I kind of like it.
It's kind of interesting that he happens to work where you work.
In the same, I actually drive about 30 miles to work, so it's, he actually works in the same city.
Oh, okay. And then so he's got to make his way to wherever he's going.
Right.
Well, I mean, let's go to the important stuff first. I mean, do you enjoy traveling with this guy, or is he a pain in the neck?
He's kind of a pain in the neck.
Talk about looking a gift horse in the mouth.
I mean, I don't really mind giving him a ride to work so much, but actually, he's the one who talks pretty much nonstop from the time I get him in my car until I drive. I mean, I can say about three words the whole drive.
No, yeah, just what you want to do early in the morning is talk to some pain in the neck.
Right.
Do you have a tape player in your car?
Yeah.
Good.
Don't you have loud you need heavy metal music?
You need to. The next morning when you pick him up, you need to buy the loudest, most obnoxious CD you could possibly find, or tape you can possibly find. And tell them that you've just discovered this band, and aren't these guys great?
Yeah.
I've bought 10 tapes of theirs, and I can't believe how great these guys are. And they're only good if it's 100 decibels. I mean, you can't play
exactly.
It wrong. You got to hear it. You got to hear every sound. And you fade it over to the right.
I love it.
I love it, too.
By the way,
neither one of you is right.
But,
no, you're
righter than him.
Yeah, as long as you're not coasting at 40 miles an hour. If you're coasting from 10 miles an hour down to zero,
that's fine.
You are perfectly right. You're fine.
Yeah, but his idea of if you're in fifth, you got to go to fourth, to third, to second, to first, he's nuts.
Well,
so not only is he a pain in the butt, but
I don't
want to
wear out the clutch. That's
exactly.
Well, what's the most correct way?
Well, it depends on how fast you're going. How fast are you going when you decide you have to stop?
Well.
And what gear are you in?
Probably fourth gear going 30.
And then what do? You shift from fourth to neutral?
Yeah.
And coast down from 30?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would take your foot off the gas and step on the brake while staying in fourth gear, and you can slow down to 20 in fourth gear.
Yeah.
It might start bucking, at which point you throw it in neutral and you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't like the way you're doing it, I do.
I'm telling you, that heavy metal is going to drive him out of his tree.
I can't wait.
See you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Good luck, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You do a guy a favor. You drive him 30 miles. Jeez.
I know, and you got to listen to the and then he talks about you behind your back.
Hmm.
I mean, he could have said, gee, you know, Jerry, I think you're probably downshifting incorrectly. You know, I've been driving a long time, and I think this is the right way to do it. That would have been a nicer thing. You know, it would have made good conversation, too.
Sure.
And this guy wouldn't be making a jerk of himself.
Yeah, I mean, how many people named Jerry are there in Adrian, Michigan? So if he's listening.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that every jerk in the world listens to our show.
We didn't ask for his name. We should have gotten his name. Get her back on the phone. Okay, now before we get to the new puzzler, we need to take a short break.
And when we come back, will you regale us with a spectacular new puzzler?
I don't think I'd go that far.
Will you hold our interest with a solid, well-crafted puzzler?
Now, how about this? How about if I promise to kill 3 minutes of airtime?
Sold.
Well, look, when we come back, I'll have a brand new puzzler from my Continuing Adventures of Doug Berman series.
Ooh, and we'll have time for lots more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
The lady behind me, she haunted me.
Beep, beep, beep.
Just a short toot, I let it be.
Beep, beep, beep.
beep. But I wondered when beep. She honked once again beep. What's her problem then?
Beep, beep, beep.
Then a second car right on cue
beep, beep, beep.
Joined in and started honking too
beep. Beep, beep.
Two cars honking me
beep,
very
beep,
loudly
beep.
But what could I do?
Beep.
I was stuck there too
beep.
Those cars had to know
beep.
That I couldn't go
beep.
Still one more horn began to blow
beep, 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 beep.
Now my patience was wearing thin
And even though Neanderthals, think back to the good old days, B.C., before car talk, whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the new Puzzler, which I did mention was from my continuing series of the Adventures of Doug Berman.
Yes, you did say that.
Well, here we go.
I don't know what you were talking about, but I heard you.
Recently, our very own Doug Berman decided to go green and ride his bicycle to work and back every day. And the fact that he was just a few bean burritos from that 200-pound mark may have had a little something to do with it. We're not sure. Anyway, Dougie is one of our Fair City's few law-abiding cyclists. In fact, he's kind of a fanatic about it. He obeys all the rules of the road. He signals for all his turns, obeys the speed limits, obeys all the traffic signs and stoplights, and even yields to pedestrians. He's a saint. If you don't believe us, ask him. Well, lately he has started to record his time for his trips both to and from work, and here's the interesting part. When there is moderate traffic on the road, he can make his trip either to or from work a few minutes faster than he can when there is little or no traffic.
Oh.
How could this be that vehicular traffic is actually speeding up his commute? Now he's not hanging on to the bumpers of the passing cars or drafting city buses, so what's the story? How's he doing it?
Wow.
So when there's moderate traffic, it takes him less time to get home or get to work.
Yeah.
And when there's no traffic, it actually takes him
more
a little
time.
Bit more time. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a Mission 1 Superbike electric motorcycle with high-powered lithium-ion battery, 150-mile-per-hour top speed, liquid-cooled three-phase AC induction motor, Brembo four-piston monoblock calipers, Marchesini wheels, and a non-conductive rubber suit for when I ride through puddles, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. I am so excited to be on your show.
And so are we, Amy.
No, Nancy.
I got two of the letters there, though. Amy was A-M-Y, and you got an A and a Y in your name, unless you spell Nancy with an I, which
no,
you don't.
I absolutely don't.
Now, the real good talk shows, the real good call-in shows have a monitor on the, you know, on the table.
Right.
And flashed up on the screen is the name of the next caller.
Yeah, the next caller is Nancy. She's from Albuquerque, New Mexico,
no,
and her
I'm
question
not.
Is blah,
I'm,
blah, blah, blah. Well, we don't have that monitor. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So how are we supposed to know who you are? Get off our backs, will you?
Well, let me tell you who I am. I am Nancy. I'm from Marion Station, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I have actually, it's not my car. It's really my husband.
And you have a Saab.
No, a four-cylinder 96 Camry sedan.
Stop being so contrary. 96 Camry.
96 Camry, four-cylinder. That's important.
30,000 miles.
And are you in the eastern center of... West end of Pennsylvania.
Right outside of Philadelphia.
That would be the middle,
Yeah.
Middle?
No, east.
Side.
Okay, and are you a marine biologist?
No.
No. We don't have anything right about her.
Well,
we
our
need
data,
a new monitor.
Our data is all wrong.
It's all wrong. You have to get your monitor monitored to get better information.
Do you have two kids?
I do have two kids.
All right, finally.
Now guess their ages and sexes.
Okay, they're both girls and they're 3 and 11.
No, they're boys and they're 11 and 14.
I got one of them right.
Yeah, you're about
getting
down.
Better. We're getting better.
2% maybe.
So what's wrong with this piece of junk Camry?
What happened is, this is my husband's car, and two times when I tried to start it, I could feel the energy draining as I was shifting from park into drive.
There you are. You turn the key. You start it up. It goes vroom.
You hear the vroom. And then as you start shifting it, it just kind of dies. The engine sound kind of
diminishes.
Fades out.
Mm. And it stalls out?
And it stalls out.
Got it.
Okay. Didn't become a problem until he experienced it, and then he took it to the Toyota dealership and had it checked out. They thought it might be an electrical problem.
I don't think so.
It checked out fine. They said it wasn't, you know, the alternator, the ignition, the fuel line, everything was fine. They found nothing. And my husband says that if he really revs it up when he starts it, that it doesn't die on him. Yeah.
Well, tell him not to do that anymore.
Don't rev it up.
No.
No, it's better to have it die and restart than rev it like that.
The worst thing you can do to a car is to rev it up when the engine's cold, when you just start it up.
Okay.
That you can count the number of days you can do that before the engine dies.
Huh.
So you don't want to do that.
So what is it?
How the hell do we know?
Why did I call?
I don't know, because you wanted to waste some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds to me like the engine, when it starts, is not revving quite fast enough.
Having any trouble with the boys? We have boys ourselves.
We have boys. We've had 11 and 14-year-old boys. We can help you with a question about them. they're probably still human. Is that right? 11 and 14?
Semi-human.
It
varies.
Yeah, the 14-year-old is fast fading.
It's going to get so much worse, man. You're gonna wonder
why you brought them into this world.
Why did I do this?
Well, I've thought of that.
No, they're going to hate you. No, you haven't. No, you can't comprehend the full force of their hatred for you.
Oh, you can't. Oh, man,
you will be despised beyond your wildest dreams.
I mean, when we were first married, my wife said that she wanted to have kids, and I was violently opposed to it. I said, why would you want to do that to yourself? This is ridiculous. And she convinced me that it was probably a great, wonderful thing to do. I mean, it was God's will, and nature wanted this.
And motherhood ran in her family,
right. Her mother was a mother. Her mother's mother had been a mother. And so she convinced me to do this. And I remember it was when my son was about 15 that she leaned over one day and whispered in my ear, you were right.
How old is he now?
I think he's about 40.
No.
No, he's 18.
And has it gotten better?
He's turned the corner. He's turned the corner. He's become human again.
Yeah.
But I can't attest to it. But it seems as though that's true.
Yeah. Well, we can go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but then let me ask you a question. Do I discuss my car problem with a psychologist?
I think so. You got as much chance of getting an answer.
Here's what I would do. I would take it to the same guys who said everything was okay.
Right.
And I would leave it with them overnight.
Yeah.
And I would ask them to start it from cold in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And find out what the RPMs are in the morning. And they will discover that they're too low.
Yeah. Here's what's wrong with it. You have a faulty coolant temp sensor. That's my gut feeling.
That's good. That's good.
And they should put the ohm meter on this thing. There's a chart that when they look it up, they may have it even memorized, that'll tell you at this temperature, the coolant temp sensor should have this many ohms.
Mm-hmm.
Because that reading sends a signal to the computer, which in turn sends a signal to the fuel injectors to tell them how much fuel to put in and how to race the engine and all that.
And it says the engine's cold, so it's got to rev a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't tell that to the computer has no way of knowing, and so it thinks the engine's warm, and it runs too slowly, and then when you take your foot off the brake and do whatever you do, it stalls.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't figure it out and they're at a loss for what to do, ask them to just replace the thing because it's relatively cheap.
Okay. Then if it isn't that, then what's the next step?
Oh, jeez. Well, I mean...
Well, you call us back. I mean, we can't go dealing with hypothetical questions. Nancy, we're very, very busy.
Good luck with those boys, and remember what we told you.
I will remember it.
When they hate you, remember, it's not them talking, it's the little devils that live in them.
That's very reassuring.
See you, Nancy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Doug from Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Well, I got two problems.
Yeah.
The first one was with my truck, uh-huh. And the second one, well, the truck led to my second problem, which is a marital dispute.
Your wife.
Yeah.
It always happens. No matter what problem you have two.
This is true.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the truck.
Let's start with the truck.
It's an 85 Ford F-150.
Yeah.
And last fall, I was going back to work after lunch, and it was the first cold day, so I had the defrost going. And all of a sudden, thick black smoke started pouring out of the defrost.
Uh-huh.
So I panicked, pulled off to the side of the road, turned off the car, lifted the hood, nothing. No smoke, nothing. So I get back in, start her back up, and I had to get back to work. And I thought, well, I got insurance. If it burns to the ground, I'll get a new one.
Not quite a new one, but you'll get something.
Another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in good hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I come back out after about 3-4 hours and start her up. It smells like crazy in there, but turn on the defrost, drive home, nothing.
Works great.
Works great. I get home, tell my wife, oh, by the way, dear, guess what happened to me at work today? And she comes up with the solution, and this is where we had the marital dispute because I said she was nuts.
Yeah.
Where she thinks the smoke came from.
Hmm.
There were dried up bugs and bug parts in there, and when I ran the defrost for so long, they caught on fire, and that's what was burning. And I said she was nuts.
You were right. But I hope you didn't tell her that.
What, that she was nuts?
Yeah.
Well,
that would lead to a marital dispute.
Yeah.
And remember the great words that I once heard.
What?
And I think I spoke them. Would you rather be right, or would you rather be happy? And you chose in that case to be right. And now your wife ain't happy, you ain't
and
happy.
And you're sleeping in the pickup truck.
Yeah.
And it smells bad in there. Well, I think she's wrong because you'd be hard-pressed to get enough bugs to make all that acrid black smoke.
And
secondly, there's nothing hot enough to set bugs on fire.
Well, that's what I said. And she said, fine, take the dash apart. So I did.
You
found,
all these
whole bunch of bugs.
Were they, as the French say, carbonisé? Were they burned up?
No.
No, they were there. But...
Well, she says the ones that burnt up wouldn't be there. They were gone.
Yeah. She's a smart little cookie, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm right, this will be the first time.
Yeah.
Well, I think you could open up anyone's heater box and find bugs. I mean, after all, where else are they going to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the smoke came from the blower motor.
Yeah, the only thing down there that could cause that is the motor.
Is the insulation on the windings of the motor melting because the motor is seizing up.
But I ran the air conditioner all summer long, and it worked just fine.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
he didn't even have to tell us that because don't forget, it worked fine on his way home from work the day that it happened.
Yeah.
So whatever happened was a single episode, and it was over. The only, if anything caught fire, it was the blower motor.
Okay.
Yeah, and it didn't even catch fire. The windings got so hot that the insulation started to melt, and that makes a very foul-smelling,
but it's a very distinctive smell.
Acrid.
But it wasn't electrical.
It didn't smell like electrical smoke?
No, I know what that smells like.
Why? What have you burned up?
Well, I've wired my house.
Oh, you wired your house. Oh, so you know what an electrical fire smells like.
Oh, yes, he does.
All right, I've had the fire department out.
So it didn't smell like an electrical fire.
Did it smell like rubber?
No. To be honest, it smelled like burning paper almost.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Is there paper around the...
Well, as we know...
No,
I
there
mean,
isn't. But
the highest temperature in there... is about 200 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all know that paper doesn't burn until you get to 454.
Right.
Right.
So you ain't got any temperatures that high.
Wait, hold it now. What if we had a stage-wise progression?
Oh, really?
What? Yeah. What if we had a condition whereby something could ignite at a much, much lower temperature and in turn ignite
yeah, I see it.
Some leaves that might have been in
like
there.
Like maybe bugs?
What is
a bug?
The ignition
bug
point of a mosquito?
Oh, no, these aren't mosquitoes. These were like, what are these like? Like June bugs, right?
Yeah, and dragonflies.
I mean, somebody has obviously done a PhD dissertation on...
There's no question about it.
Dragonfly and June bug ignition points.
Call Oklahoma University.
Okay.
No, this is getting out of hand. We have no idea, Doug.
No, I
have no idea.
Well, I have the experiment.
Yeah.
That Doug has to do.
Yeah.
He has to set fire to a bug and see if that smell jogs his memory.
Ah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if it does, you'll know your wife was right. I'm sure she was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's right.
I have no other theory to account for this because that is a pretty isolated system.
Well.
And you're hard-pressed to get smoke.
Yeah, this was a lot of smoke.
Yeah,
of smoke.
And with this smoke, this fire, you've been burning up some bugs, Doug. Set a few bugs on fire and see if that smell reminds you of that incident.
I'll give it a try.
Remember the words, hun, I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart.
I know the mantra.
See you later.
Oh, God love you.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening
to kidding.
Cards. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Cavs of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Reykjavik, Nestle's Quick, Codfish Stick, Marshmallow Chick, and Ice Cream Lick, full as a tick, I'll just pick a picnic, is John Bussy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our used car salesperson of the month is Meg Meehoffa. Our director of vengeance is Yule Rudy Day. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our seasonal adjustment disorder specialist is Mahmoud S. Bleak. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Latte Army Infantry in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 943, saunter through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, finally, a Car Talk iPhone app.
Wow, an iPhone app? Does it do anything useful?
Of course. You get into someone else's car, you push the button, and...
No, great. Oh, I bet that's handy for when you get pulled over by like a state trooper.
That's perfect for that. It does other stuff, too.
One would hope. That's the new Car Talk iPhone app.
Find it anytime by going to cartalk.com.
Oh, boy. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR... National Public Radio.